All at once, the towers around the mall went dark as the city's electrical grid lost power. There was a bright flash beyond the Tiara's central number 4 strand, and a moment later, a shockwave hammered the mall, flattening the light globes and sending the picnickers squealing after flying napkins and bowled over children. On the balcony, women shrieked in gleeful fright as they clutched their billowing dresses. Men made a gallant show of uncapping their ears as a sonic boom pealed past the parliament. "Hurrah!" Thune shouted, starting a round of applause that echoed a similar outburst from the picnickers on the mall. "Well done, Mac."
"That's mighty kind, Governor,"
the AI replied from Thune's comm pad, hidden somewhere in his vast jacket.
"I aim to please."
"Speaking of which," Thune said, heading away from the railing, "how close did you come?"
Peterson freed a hand and pointed after Thune, letting the two Marines know they were expected to follow. This time, the governor led them to the far end of the ballroom, where a group of children, girls with satin bows on their dresses and boys in shiny vests and shoes, packed tight around a circular table topped with a cornucopia of fruits and vegetables. A silver holo projector was centered in a wreath of leafy vines and deep purple grape clusters. On top of that stood Mac.
"Missed by a mile," the AI said, rubbing the back of its neck with a grimy handkerchief. "Actually, more like 50 kilometers. But I'm sure she'll say something."
"No doubt. No doubt," Thune chuckled. "Listen, I'd like you to meet Captain Ponder and Staff Sergeant Johnson, UNSC Marines, here to raise a militia."
"Mac, Agricultural Operations."
Mac touched the brim of his cowboy hat, then, nodding toward the balcony and the masked driver somewhere beyond,
"Same as the Navy's big guns, just a little less kick."
"You know," Ponder deadpanned, "there's a reason we only fire those in space."
Masked drivers were a relatively simple, cheap solution for boosting objects from a planet's surface into orbit. Typically built on large, flexible gimbals, their linked magnetic loops could be charged, aimed, and fired with very little automation, with a simple computer rather than an AI. But drivers had one major disadvantage: limited throw weight, which meant that while Harvest Driver worked well during the first decade after the colony's founding, when its primary role was to send carefully packaged nuclear waste on a collision course with Epsilon Indy, for the planet to meet its full export potential, it needed to be replaced with a high-capacity lift system, such as the Tiara. Driver technology was alive and well in the Navy, however, in the form of mass accelerator cannon. So-called MAC frigates and cruisers were basically movable mass drivers, ships designed around the weapon's long electromagnetic coils. The technology was similar to that of the M99 stanchion rifle, but whereas the M99's light, semi-ferrous rounds were only a few millimeters long, a MAC slug was more than 10 meters end-to-end, weighed 160 metric tons, and packed enough punch to penetrate the Navy's thickest titanium A armor plate.
"Space?" Thune grumbled dismissively. "Those things even make noise in zero-G?"
"If you're inside a MAC ship when the cannon fires," Ponder raised his hands wide around his head, simulating a deafening boom. "I don't know if you're a religious man, Governor, but it's a little like a church bell."
"Am I?"
the governor beamed.
"Lutheran, born and raised."
Peterson sighed in mock protest. "If I had known you were going to bring up religion, Captain, as Attorney General, I would have counseled a less contentious topic."
"And I was about to tell a story," Mac added, loud enough for all the children to hear.
The young crowd cheered as a holographic representation of a bustling Wild West Main Street appeared behind Mac. A group of masked outlaws rushed from a bank, firing their six-shooters and spooking the horses of a passing stagecoach. The children oohed and aahed. Mac pulled a sheriff's star out of his hip pocket and pinned it to his chest.
"Might want to take the sermon to the saloon."
"Fine by me,"
Thune said, clapping Ponder on the shoulder.
"Captain?"
Ponder stood firm under the force of Thune's blow.
"After you, Governor."
Before he followed Thune to the ballroom's bar, he asked Peterson,
I gave my staff sergeant strict orders to find himself a dance partner. Know anyone who might fit the bill?
Peterson raised an eager finger.
I have just the one.
I certainly appreciate it, Ponder said. Then to Avery with a smile. Good luck, Marine.